Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be learning the halachas of Avodah Zarah. This is Siman Kuf Samach Zayin 167 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And remember that this is the Kitzur. This is a summary. So the Kitzur is taking many sections in the Shulchan Aruch and is giving a brief summary on some of the more applicable aspects of halacha as it appears in our daily life. And of course, this is going to trigger many questions which should be asked surrounding these types of topics. We're going to look at six concepts today, and they are prohibited benefit from Avodah Zarah and its accessories. Number two is annulling Avodah Zarah, idol worship. Prohibited forms of commerce and support, appropriate responses and appearances, speech and praise, and yichud and nursing. Let's jump in. So concept number one, prohibited benefit from Avodah Zarah and its idolatry and its accessories. So what is forbidden when regards to benefit from idols? We know you're not allowed to serve Avodah Zarah. That should be clear. You don't serve any pagan deity or any other force in this world. But what about the actual items themselves? So it's forbidden to benefit from idols themselves, their vestments, ornaments, and sacrifices. Let's go through those one by one. What are vestments of an idol? Vestments are the vessels used by the priest for sacrifices. So for instance, pans or goblets, or the house of worship itself that's used exclusively for idol worship, like say a church, and the base on which the idol stands and musical instruments played before it or in front of it are all called vestments, and may not be used. So if there's, let's say, a flute used or an organ used, which is part of a service, that as well is prohibited for any benefit. What is considered an ornament? So ornaments include candles that are lit in front of it, garments used to clothe it or decorate it, trees planted in front of it for beauty, or even just sitting in the shade of such a tree is forbidden. Finally, the last thing is what is considered sacrifices. This means any kind of food that is placed in front of the idol, in front of the deity. What happens if forbidden items are mixed with permissible items? So let's say there is an ornament which was used, let's say, to drape around a idol, and then that ornament gets mixed up into a whole bunch of other ornaments which are not from their deity. So in that case, one may not benefit from any of them at all, even if there's a 1 to 1,000 ratio of permitted ones, because Avodah Zarah is not batel in this case, is not annulled in a majority. Let's go further. Our second concept is annulling idolatry. So can idols or their accessories be nullified? The answer is yes, if they belong to a non-Jew and that non-Jew who owns it defaces them so that it cannot be used by a idol. They've essentially invalidated it and it can be used. But if, let's say, a Jew who is a heretic, who has adopted idol worship and creates a deity, they do not have the capacity to invalidate that anymore. What about extinguished candles used for idolatry? So let's say candles were used in a service. So if the non-Jew extinguishes them for their own use, and then later on decides to sell them to a Jew, the act is considered an annulment and you may use those candles. However, they may not be used for mitzvah purposes, cannot be Shabbos candles, they cannot be used in a shul. What about an item that was formerly Avodah Zarah, it's formerly used for idol worship, can it be used for a mitzvah after annulment? So in this case, never. Anything which is annulled can never be used for a mitzvah, like those candles, because it's considered disgusting. What about the status of clothing worn by priests in their temples? So there's not specifically for service, it's just the clothes they wore themselves. So some poskim say that these are personal priestly ornaments and do not require annulment, and others do say that they require annulment as well. What about the cross worn as jewelry? Is a considered forbidden. So if it is a cross that is bowed in front of, it is forbidden unless it's annulled to benefit from. But a cross worn as jewelry or memento is permitted to benefit from. So for instance, if one is a jewelry salesman and one is selling something that has a cross, but it's not a worshipped cross, it's an adornment, one may benefit from it in that respect, but obviously not serving it. We move to our next concept, our third concept, which is prohibited commerce and support. Let's jump straight in. Is it permissible to make or sell items for idol worship? And the answer is no. It is forbidden even to make the windows, says the Kitzur, for a house of idol worship, or to sell exclusive religious books or items needed for the worship, especially if they cannot acquire them elsewhere. What do some poskim say about selling idol-related items even when alternatives exist? Some poskim say it prohibited regardless whether they can get them elsewhere or not, and people he suggests should be stringent. What is interesting is, once in our situation, we were giving away a piano, and the person who was picking up the piano said they were going to bring it to their church, which we were very uncomfortable with, so we asked about it, and it turned out they were going to bring it to their social hall, to their games room. If that's the case, that's not an issue. It's not being used for the church itself, for the service, and then that is fine. May one lend money to build a house of idolatry? So it is best to avoid lending for construction, ornaments, or any staff of the idol worship. And certainly forbid, you're not allowed to sell ornaments to them. They're going to be used in their house of worship. May one bind books that are related to idolatry? Answer is no. Except, let's say, law books which have nothing to do with idolatry. Even with fear, let's say there's fear of hatred for that a Jew's going to not, if they refuse this job, one should try to avoid as much as possible. Finally, may one conduct business with in a place where Gentiles gather for forgiveness of sins, so like in a place they worship? And the answer is no, one should not be conducting or transacting business in such places. Move on to our fourth concept, prohibitions related to sensory exposure to Avodah Zarah. Is it permissible to look at idols or their ornaments? The answer is no. One may not look at Avodah Zarah, at idols. And it says loisifnu el ha'ililim. Do not turn, do not face, do not gaze at. And this is something which is important to know. So let's say when a Jew is taking a tour, and there's a Christian tour, a tour of particular ornaments, certainly in the Catholic Church, and there are figures and images, it is not appropriate, even in a museum's context, for a Jew to be gazing at these idols. And this happens in many ancient pagan cultures. One goes to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, there are situations where one encounters like this. How far must one keep from a house of Avodah Zarah, of idol worship? So one must distance oneself 4 amas, which is about 7 feet from its entrance. One cannot go within 7 feet of its entrance, and certainly from the idol itself. Is listening to idol music, idol worship music, or smelling their incense allowed? The answer is no. One should plug one's ears and direct and block one's nose from deriving pleasure from something which came from Avodah Zarah. We move into our fifth concept now, and that is appropriate responses and appearances. What should one say upon seeing a functioning house of Avodah Zarah? So one should say a short prayer, which is, God will uproot the house of the haughty. What should one say when seeing a destroyed house of Avodah Zarah? So one should say the Almighty of Vengeance, Kelna Kumas Hashem, Hoifia, appear, reveal yourself. In Israel, there's another bracha, there's actually a bracha said on this, that Hashem uprooted Avodah Zarah Meretzenu, but he's talking in a diaspora reality. And finally, may one bend down to retrieve something in front of an idol, one drops change, and one's going to bend over in front of an idol, says the Kitzur, no. Even if no one's around, it looks like bowing is not appropriate. One should rather turn away and face backwards, or sit down to retrieve it, so it does not look like one is bowing. Finally, we can look at our sixth concept, speech and praise. May one mention the name of an idol? The answer is no. And one may not even say something for the sake of convenience. Let's meet next to such and such an idol. Because, like, let's say it's in Times Square, in the middle of the square of the town, you cannot say, I'm going to go and meet next to such and such an idol, next to the statue of whatever it is. You're not allowed to, because the Torah says, Lo yishama al picha, it should not be heard on your tongues, on your mouth. May a Gentile, one may cause a Gentile to say the idol's name? No, because it's Lo yishama al picha. You're not allowed to let a non-Jew do it as well. Sometimes people say the Christian Savior's name when they stub their toe. That is incorrect. That's not allowed. That's included in this. May one mention the names of their holidays? So yes, in that case, it's all right too, because you say it in a way which is disrespectful. It's not the way that the non-Jews would say it themselves. Is mockery allowed? And the answer is yes. All mockery in general is forbidden, right? Except for the late Zonosa, Da'avodah Zarah, or except for mocking idols and their idol worship. May one give a gift to a non-acquainted Gentile? So the halacha is no. This is what's lois sechonim. You're not allowed to give free gifts unless the person is an acquaintance or there's a reciprocation and there's an interest in the relationship. one may. One prays a Gentile. One's not allowed to. One's not allowed to admire their looks unless their intention is to praise Hashem for his creations. Is one allowed to help bury their dead, visit their sick, help their poor, eulogize them and console their mourners? And the halacha is yes in this case, because this is because of Darkei Shalom. So let's say a non-Jew calls Hatzalah as an example. They do respond. This is allowed because of Darkei Shalom in the diaspora reality. How may a Jew teach trade to a non-Jew? So it's forbidden to directly teach trade to Gentiles. It's in this case. Finally, our last halachas over here is the seventh and last concept, which is yichud and nursing. May a Jew be alone with a non-Jew? The answer is, even if it's the same gender, one should not have yichud, one should not be secluded with a non-Jew. There is a concern, and certainly for many years of it being in danger, and yichud is forbidden. May a non-Jewish woman nurse a Jewish baby. We discussed this before in the context of education and the spiritual aspects of this. And in this case, there's more of a concern of danger. So only in a Jewish home with others present or entering frequently, but never alone at night. There's concerns, unfortunately, all kinds of concerns, safety concerns, spiritual concerns as well. May a Jewish woman act as a midwife for a Gentile. So only if she is a known professional and is paid for her job. And it is a weekday, so as not to cause hatred. May a Jewish woman nurse a Gentile baby? So no, unless she's being paid. Even for pay, she may not, unless she is engorged and in pain, in which case it is permitted. So there's a lot of halachas which relate to Avodah Zarah, and those who practice Avodah Zarah. And these are things which a person needs to be aware of and ask questions about the applications in specific situations. So those we conclude, have a wonderful meeting.